Will you pray with me? Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of baptism in which you affirm and give us a new identity in Christ, that we are no longer dead in our sin, but alive in Christ. Allow us to celebrate that identity in Christ, but also, Lord, live as your child, now and forever. Amen. How many of you have ever started something new, whether it was a new position at work, or maybe you were playing on a new team, or you were experiencing something where it was new for you, but other people around you had been doing it for a while? How does that make you feel sometimes? Sometimes it's very insecure, it's very challenging. You wonder, are you doing a good job? But occasionally, there's the one person maybe you look up to, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's the person that you report to, and they come, and while they don't give you a fist bump, they say, good job. You know, you're doing well with what we're asking you to do. That was a great shot, or, you know, you're working really hard, and it shows in what you do. When you get affirmed like that, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel good. It makes you feel that you're in the right spot, doing the right thing, and we all long for that affirmation. Today, I want to talk about these words of affirmation, these words where we affirm the people around us. I heard about a dad, Bill Hybels, who at night when he went to tuck in his daughter to bed, he would tell her, of all the little girls in the world, I would choose you to be my daughter. I love you so much. And later when he had a son, he would say the same thing to his son. I'm so proud of you. Of all the little boys in the world, I choose you. I love you so much. Not because of what they've done, just to say I love you. I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. I think we all long to hear those words. And so today, when we come into our gospel reading, Jesus came to John the Baptist as John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River. And as Jesus came to John, John was like, you know, I shouldn't baptize you. You should. You're the great one. You should baptize me. But Jesus explained that there was things that needed to be done, that God had sent him with a job to do, that in order for all righteousness to be fulfilled, Jesus should be baptized. Because now John the Baptist, he was preaching a message, a baptism of repentance. Did Jesus have anything to repent of? No, he didn't need this baptism. But he knew that in order to fulfill God's plan, that this was important. Before Jesus' baptism, if you would have talked to people about who Jesus was, they would have said, well, he's the son of Mary and Joseph. He's a carpenter. After this baptism, something changes. Because when Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens are opened. A dove, the shape of the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove, descend upon Jesus. And Jesus hears this voice. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Imagine this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Again, before this, he was just a regular guy from Nazareth, a carpenter. Now, Jesus begins to do the work that God sent him to do, to perform miracles, to do those things that we heard from the prophet Isaiah, that those living in darkness he would bring to light, to those who were sick, that Jesus would bring healing, to those who were captive, Jesus would set free. But before any of that happens, Jesus gets to hear this voice. You are my son. I love you so much. With you I am so pleased. It affirmed Jesus' identity. It affirmed who he was. It set him on a path that would endure throughout his ministry. Because Jesus' path wasn't the easy path. There were times when people wouldn't listen to him, that they would scorn him, that they would reject him. Even his own family said, "You've got to stop what you're doing. You're talking crazy talk. Just come inside." But because Jesus was affirmed for who he was, God's son, by his own father, Jesus had the confidence, the courage, the strength to do what needed to be done. Even when it came to the Monday, Thursday, when he celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, when he said, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, which is poured out for you." Because Jesus knew that in the next 24 hours, he would be betrayed, that he would suffer, that he would die on a cross. Jesus, with the affirmation of his Father, was able to do this hard task. And yet, did Jesus stay dead? His Father loved him and had a plan to raise him from the dead. And I think that's one of the things about baptism, is that in baptism, God accomplishes what he did in Jesus in us. You know, when we are baptized at the baptismal font, God says to each one of you, us, "You are my beloved son," or "You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased." Because in that baptism, something amazing happens. God washes away our sin. He places within us faith and covers us in Jesus Christ, that now we are no longer alive to this world, but we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. God gives us a new identity in our baptism. He makes us his children, that we no longer live for the passions of this world, but now we live for God. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6. Then in our baptism, we are buried with Jesus. We're buried in his death. Our sinful nature dies, that we might arise a new creation, not to live for ourselves, but to live for him. And I think this is one of the things that we need to remember our baptism about, that when we have opportunities to do what is good, should we do it? When we are tempted to sin, to be able to say, "No to sin, I'm God's child." When we remember what God has done for us, it sets us on a path to live not for ourselves, but to live for him. It gives us an opportunity to have a big faith, because God in Christ says, "I love you. You are forgiven. With you, I am well pleased." And even when we mess up, God says we can come to the altar and receive this forgiveness. And God picks us back up and he sets us on that path, that no matter what happens, we know that God is with us. Even when there's suffering, even when there's hard times, God says, "I've got you. You are mine." That's what God says in Isaiah 43. He says, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." So often in this world, it's easy to be tempted to be afraid, but God says, "Don't be afraid, because I have called you in your baptismal waters. I have made you my child. You are mine." But that doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. That doesn't mean that life is going to go just right by. Isaiah recognizes that when we pass the waters, when troubles come, God promises to be with us. That when it feels like that we're going through the rivers, as the rivers rise up, God says they will not sweep over you. And when this world gets hot, when it feels that there's fire in our lives and our circumstances, God says you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, because God is faithful, because God has called you by name. God has summoned you. You are his, because God is the Holy One of Israel. God is our Savior. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he has already paid the price. He has paid the penalty that we can have faith in him and be delivered. from our sin, from death, from the powers of this world. And so we can place our faith in God, remembering our baptism every day. So what's next? Today I want to challenge you to consider taking these four steps as you remember your baptism, how you're dead to sin and alive in Christ. First of all, celebrate that you're a part of God's family. And even if you're hearing voices from the world, voices from coworkers that you're not good enough, that you don't do a good job, God says, I love you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are a part of a family here at Talmadge Lutheran Church, brothers and sisters in Christ. In our baptism, we remember that. A second thing that we can do is that we can live out our faith. To be able to say, all right, God, I'm your child. How do you want me to live? And to be able to say no to our worldly passions so that we can say yes to God. Living out our baptismal identity means living not for ourselves, but for God. And so we draw on the strength that God has given us to do what he wants us to do. And finally, or thirdly, we can trust God. No matter what the circumstances of our life, we know that God's got us in the palm of his hands, that there's nothing beyond what he won't give us anything beyond what we can bear, and so that we can trust God no matter the circumstances. And finally, as God has affirmed us, as God has blessed us, we can find ways to be a blessing to others, whether it's blessing people in our own household, our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, or maybe there's people that we work with or people that we fellowship with, to say, God, as you have blessed me, help me be a blessing to others, to affirm them with words, to affirm them with actions, to find ways to let them know that they're loved, that they're important, that you value them, that together we may receive this gift that we received in our baptism and share it with others. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we do this together. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for all the gifts that you give us through your word, through holy baptism. Allow us to walk with Christ in the newness of life, to not live for ourselves, but to live for you. And Lord, as we have opportunities, allow us to be a blessing, to share affirmation with the people you have placed around us, that they may be loved in the same way that you have loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,